Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show celebrating Asian cuisine and culture as we have conversations with the passionate people from the world of Asian food. I'm your host, Linda Liu. In this time of COVID-19, HRN Studio is closed, so I am recording remotely from my apartment in Brooklyn. It may sound a little different than usual, but we're thankful for the technology that allows us to keep on recording. This summer, we'll broadcast a handful of episodes where I will be catching up with our friends in the industry to see what they've been up to, how they've adapted their food business or restaurant operation for this unusual and challenging time. In this episode, I called on Amelie Kang, owner of Mala Project, and Dennis No, chef and co-owner of Diondi, a couple of our friends that would actually have been panelists at the first Feast Meets West social event 2 months ago. Unfortunately, due to forces out of our control, Miss Rona pulled the rug out from under us. We've had to postpone the event, and since then, we've stopped socializing in groups, we've stopped dining out, and started staying home, sheltering in place, doing our part to flatten the curve of new corona cases as essential workers tirelessly work on our behalf, fighting this invisible virus and keeping our supply chains running. Thankfully, it feels like we're past the worst, the peak of hospitalizations in New York. And the conversations now are about how the city and our restaurants can safely reopen. As I speak, there are a number of restaurants that have already reopened for pickup and delivery. But there are also many beloved institutions and mom-and-pop shops that have made the tough decision to close their doors as margins are slim, the rent is high, and not being fully operational for a couple months meant having to shutter a business. While those in the food and restaurant industry are facing a new adversary in an already demanding line of work, we as diners, consumers, and residents of our cities must cheer them on, be open to new creative solutions, and make an effort to support them when they need us the most. And now, here is my conversation with Amelie Kang, followed by my conversation with Dennis No. So, hey, Amelie.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. Can't complain.
Yeah, how are you holding up?
We're good. We closed Mala Project around mid March, and we actually just opened up for takeout and delivery last week. This past Friday, about a week ago. So
yeah. Tell me about when Mala Project first closed the dining in service. You said that was mid-March. How did you make that decision and what did you do next?
It was really strange at Mala Project because we didn't really see any... We weren't really affected until the virus was getting pretty serious and right before the city was shutting down. So... around the beginning of March, that's when we really see a decrease in dining sales, and then everything just happened so fast. Within a week, we lost, you know, around half of the dining sale, and we actually stayed open for takeout and delivery for another week after we closed dining. We also came up with the quarantine sauce, which is the mala hot sauce that you can have with rice, noodle. It's very delicious, and we were selling that for a while. But everything just happened so fast. So I think it was March 18th is when we officially closed our doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a little bit too surreal, even just thinking back right now.
Yeah, all of that just happening in the span of a week.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. And so you were doing the quarantine sauce and some takeout right after the dine-in service was closed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you stop that for a reason, or did you keep doing it for a while?
We did it. We tried to do it. We wanted to stay open. We really wanted to. But I think after about 5 days, it just became clear that it was not doable for us specifically, because most of our chefs live really far. And even though we had rented cars for them, we were able to bring them to work and then drop them off, and nobody was taking, you know, they were able to not take public transportation. But I think everybody was nervous, and I was nervous. Mm-hmm. It was just not a good mentality to work with. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to close.
Yeah, you wanted to be really thoughtful for your team and your staff, especially as the virus was ramping up. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. And especially, you know, with the Chinese background, we were hearing all the different stories from China, from the parents. It was just the information was overloading, like the seriousness was quite up there. So
I know it's been such a hard time for everyone across the board, but particularly the restaurant industry has been hit so hard. Have you had to let go of any of your staff or make those hard decisions on top of closing the restaurant for this time?
Unfortunately, we had to let go of our teams just because, you know, that was the only way that they can file for unemployment.
Right.
But at the same time, we know that eventually we're going to hire everyone back. Now that we're open, we were able to hire some of the staff back. Obviously, we're not fully staffed. At least we're able to do that now, and especially with the PPP loan. We're pretty connected with the team, so checking mm-hmm. in with them. So I think I'm pretty optimistic when it comes to when the time comes when we're ready to open up dine-in, we're able to bring everyone back. And I don't really mind letting everyone go, just because, you know, as long as you're connected, as long as, you know, everyone is covered by the benefit, that's probably the best option out there anyways.
Yeah. And as a small business owner, were you able to secure some of that loan funding?
We are able to, very, very fortunately, we were able to get our loan. So that's extremely helpful in terms
of...
Yeah,
that's so good to hear.
Yeah, normalize the payroll.
Yeah. And how has this affected your plans for the year? I mean, we just want to send 2020 back, right? But what did you have in mind?
I think we're just going to scratch off 2020 from the calendar next year start over again. But it's definitely, I mean, we're planning to open the third restaurant, and that's definitely being delayed. So right now we're trying to apply for the construction license, and that's going to take much longer than expected. But I think it's a little bit, I try to not look at the original plan anymore, and even just looking back, the meeting notes that we had, we had all the plans and the all these ambitious, you know, things that we wanted to do during this year. But it's what it is, and you just have to pivot with the situation. So I think right now we're just trying to focus on keeping everyone safe, and if we can get through this period, then it's also, I think it's almost a blessing in disguise, because if you're able to push through this time, then you can really push through anything almost, and you can, you know, discover your potential in a way that you can't otherwise.
Yeah, that's a great outlook. This is definitely the hardest thing, especially for restaurants and businesses that really depend on that in-person connection too. So in the last 2 months, so I guess between closing and reopening for takeout, what have you been up to? Any like quarantine projects, or has it been kind of full on with like figuring out next steps for Mala Project?
Work was pretty mellow. There wasn't a lot of work to do, but we were talking, you know, there's the quarantine sauce project that we were working on, and the construction obviously takes up a lot of designing and planning, and we can do that from home, so that's very, very fortunate that we can still work on that.
Yeah, that's a productive project for you.
So at least we have things to keep us busy. Otherwise, I think I would go crazy. And other than that, just probably same as everyone else, you know, a lot of working out and Coursera and YouTube and things like that. But yeah.
Just try to stay busy. Yeah, have you picked up any new hobbies, or have you been like cooking more at home?
Oh yes, I have been cooking more. We don't cook a lot at the house, but with, you know, now we're cooking every meal, which is pretty nice. I think besides cooking and working out and just Coursera mostly in terms of personal projects.
What's Coursera?
Coursera is this, it's a great platform where you can take online courses, and most, they have, you can pay, but they also have a lot of free courses that you can take, and they're all taught by college, actual professors, not, you know, like a YouTuber.
Amateurs. What kind of courses have you been taking?
I took a bunch. I took social psychology. I've been taking this finance and marketing course, and that's 8 weeks long, so it's pretty intense. And then there's a marketing course, and they focus on how to make things go viral. And I found that was interesting, but it was also kind of like, you know, let me just see how it is. One of the first courses I took.
That's really interesting. And again, like all these skills, I feel like you can apply back to your business. I feel like you're always being productive.
I think we just have to stay positive, because if you look at this, you really don't get a lot of, you know, we're fortunate enough that you don't have to go into work. You can stay home and be safe and be healthy, and you don't really get a lot of time to slow down. Maybe this is a sign to like take things easy and just explore possibilities. It sounds so cliche, but I feel like it's true.
Yeah. So what's next for Mala Project?
Right now we're pretty much just stabilizing the takeout and delivery. Our first day was quite a mess because we got so much response.
Yeah, everyone was so excited that you guys were back.
Yeah, and I didn't, you know, we couldn't expect that, and we were so overwhelmed at the same time, so grateful for all the orders that came in. But the first day was quite stressful, but luckily everything got back to normal the next day, so that's pretty good. This will be a good opportunity for us to see how to improve our takeout and delivery service. And we'll see. You can't really plan on opening for dine-in at this moment because things change so fast. And obviously people's work life is going to change a lot. We don't even know if everyone is going back to work this year. Just have to focus on the off-site delivery service.
Right. And how are you tracking the reopening status for dining in?
You look at the news, and mm-hmm. you also we talked to the lawyers, small business, there's small business alliances and some organizations. Mm-hmm. Everyone is saying different things. so it's really just, but I think the ballpark would have to be the same. Now there's the talk, maybe we can open in June. But even if we're able to open in June, doesn't mean we'll necessarily get business in June. So it's kind of hard.
It's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you think the landscape for New York restaurants will look, and specifically for Asian restaurants too? How will that look different when we reopen, do you think?
I think this year is definitely going to be very strange. Obviously, people will probably go out less, and people are traveling less. So many New Yorkers have moved out of the city. We don't know if they're going to move back. Unfortunately, some of the restaurants have already closed for good. And very sad to see that. But I'm optimistic. I think the restaurant scene, the food scene, drink scene is always going to be exciting in New York. I think if we're able to defeat the virus, then next year I think we'll come back and things should return to normal, or at least that's what I'm hoping. Because at the end of the day, we still need to socialize. Even if, a lot of the companies are talking about working from home, but at the same time, you still need to eat. You still need to gather. So there's always the need to go out and have a proper meal. Sit at a bar and just have a pint.
What are those first things you're going to do when the city fully reopens?
I think I want to go to a diner and just have a milkshake and a burger. I've been talking about this for so long. I'm pretty determined that's going to be the first thing I do.
Oh, man, those simple dreams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to come to fruition really soon, I do think.
Yeah, yep, me too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Amelie, for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me. I hope everyone's, safe, and hopefully we can go back to our normal life pretty soon.
Yeah. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House.
Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on an eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Hey, Dennis, how have you been?
Well, thanks for having me on, Linda, and it's nice to hear from you, and it's nice to see that we're starting to resume conversations again. But to answer your question, you know, I think we're all doing as well as we can be during this crazy, challenging time.
Yeah. When did D&D close the restaurant for dine-in service?
So we closed March 16th, that Monday, I believe. The days are kind of confusing, but I think it was around that time frame. We made that decision to close. We only beat the mayor's decision by a couple hours. I remember we kind of agonized about that decision all through the weekend. And I started talking to friends and colleagues at other restaurants. We talked closely with Trig and Josh over at Winsun. And we both kind of made the decision over the weekend that we were going to close on Sunday after service. And then the mayor came out and said that immediately afterwards that he was suspending all dine-in.
Wow. It's really great to have that like community support system that you can at least like trade ideas even when we're not getting that like firm direction from the city. But what did you do next? Did you like have to take a few days to like reconfigure, or did you know that you were gonna just go into like takeout, pickup, delivery service?
No, you know, I had no idea what we were going to do. All I knew is that I had this amazing team that, you know, some individuals needed to work. We had some undocumented individuals that social safety net does not exist for them. So my immediate focus started to think about, okay, well, we're closed now. I really value this entire team. What can I just do in the meantime whilst my partners and I try to figure out what our next steps were? So, you know, I think we did close for one day, but I did not keep anyone at home that was comfortable coming in. I think a couple of our team members, I just kept them working. We just immediately started to clean the entire restaurant and kind of start packaging things away, evaluating stuff in our walk-in, stuff that we knew we needed to do something with immediately. And we kind of just kept working throughout that week and then came to the realization that we did, you know, there was enough of us that felt comfortable trying to make this work and operating as a delivery takeout.
Yeah. So it sounds like you took that week to like set up and adapt the restaurant and then you went for it.
Yeah. Yep.
So how have you adapted the restaurant, the menu? Like, what's on the menu now?
Well, right now, you know, so we had about it was only a couple of days that, you know, we had to figure everything out. And we had just coincidentally launched delivery takeout that same week that this all went down. We had not previously done delivery and takeout before. So just by the grace of God, we had already started that week and had already started to build in some reps and had figured out the infrastructure to do that. So, you know, getting ramped up again wasn't as big of a lift as if we had not done all the due diligence and planning, you know, during the early part of this year. So when we launched, you know, the weather was a bit cooler. It was still in the, like the middle of, you know, it was in early 2020. So it was still cold. So we launched with a very basic selection of our soups, our fuzz, and a couple appetizers. And we've been running that same menu ever since. Now with the weather starting to change, it's starting to get warmer. You know, my team and I have gotten to a point where we've gotten past the growing pains of trying to operate during this time. And we've actually spent the last month just R&Ding, trying to take advantage of this opportunity to continue being creative and trying to push ourselves to make the most delicious food as we possibly can. So we're going to actually launch a new spring summer menu that we've been working on for the last 6 to 8 weeks next Friday. And it's going to be a new exciting menu that we're really proud of. And it's going to be something that people, are more accustomed to eating during the warmer weather.
Oh, yeah, that's so thoughtful. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, me too.
And I saw you were doing some cool special dishes over the last couple of months as well. So the crawfish boil was a popular item. How did you come up with that?
Well, that just goes back to us trying to stay, just trying to keep the creativity alive, even though we're dealing with this challenging time. Our day consists of us trying to be creative, trying to make the most delicious food that we can. And we realize during this time that food is an outlet for individuals to just kind of get an escape from all the craziness that's going on around us.
It's all we have, Dennis.
Yeah, it's all we have. So, I just came from the perspective of let's just start cooking things that we're interested in. It doesn't necessarily have to be Vietnamese. And I think, we started a new Instagram page called DDDIDI.NYC. And that literally means to go in Vietnamese. So we started just taking that Instagram account, and then we just started kind of using that as an R&D Instagram, where we started posting things about things that we were cooking and running as specials that were just interesting to us at the time. So you'll see the Vietnamese Cajun stuff. But you'll also see things that are close to the team. A lot of us are from Texas. We were missing fajitas at one point. So we made fajitas one night and ran that as a special. And now it's kind of grown to where the entire team's gotten involved. And we've really enjoyed using this avenue to kind of still engage with our guests, still show them what we're doing. And it's it's been a lot of fun. We try to take this opportunity to continue to push ourselves and be creative. And this is one of the things that we've been doing.
That's great. And I'm following that account immediately. What else is new? I see you guys have some merch up. That's cool.
Yeah. Merch during those early days after the closures, the merch stuff was instrumental for us to not only mentally but financially just give us a little bit of a bridge to get us back up and running again. And I think we were so overwhelmed by the support of our community and our guests and how many people were just asking us for merch. And God bless my partners Twan and Kim. They really took upon that challenge and started developing and getting merch made just to fulfill the demand and wanting to provide that avenue for our guests to provide support for us.
Yeah, that's fun. I'm totally rocking my long sleeve t-shirt, and I hope to one day be fully decked out head to toe in D&D merch. Totally okay with that.
Yeah, well, we've got some super cool t-shirts, and then we just got in these really cool face masks that a talented friend made for us, and
very timely.
In the style of D&D that we're going to start to sell, and we have a bunch of ideas. What this time has forced, I think, a lot of operators and restaurateurs to do is to kind of fast track all these projects that you had down the pipeline.
Right.
Now you have this now you have the time, and now we have to all start to be creative and think about, we can't have guests in our restaurant for the time being. Our industry's kind of upended for the foreseeable future. So what can we do? What projects were we thinking about that we can kind of fast track now and see if we can generate a new revenue stream for us? And I know it's pretty obvious, but merch was something that we knew we wanted to do down the road, but we just never found the time to kind of focus on it. And this has allowed us the opportunity to think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of kind of positivity there with reorganizing your plans for 2020.
Yeah.
And what's the takeout business like these days? Has it been quite busy then?
So initially, in the beginning, takeout business for us was pretty robust. Nowhere near what it used to be when we had dine-in guests, obviously. But, you know, for us, it was enough to keep the operation running, pay our team, which was the most important thing for us, and also pay some of our fixed costs that we have still, you know. Whether we have 200 people in the restaurant at a time or we only have 8 people in the restaurant at a time, it still costs us the same amount of money in rent, electricity, water, all those fixed costs that are recurring. Those continue to go on regardless if we're operating at full capacity or not. So the ability to have a positive revenue stream coming in, whether how small it is or not, has been very, very helpful for us to just keep the lights running and keep our operation going. And most importantly, keep the team working, because I would be very concerned if, you know, for us, if we had not been open this entire time and now we were starting to rethink about doing this and not knowing where the team is and if they had to move on or circumstances had changed for them. So,
Have you been able to keep everyone on your team during this time?
Definitely, we have not been able to keep everyone that we would like to. For the kitchen side, I'm happy to say that for everyone that feels comfortable working and is able to work, we've been able to find them position with us. For the front of house team, that's a little bit more challenge given that there's just no front of house service anymore. So that's going to be an ongoing challenge for us to figure out creative ways that we can provide opportunities for our front of house team that are still looking for work. And that's a challenge for myself and my partners to just kind of, you know, take upon of like, okay, I have X, Y, and Z that are also looking for work now. What other fun projects can we launch and see if we can generate a positive revenue stream from and give these valued team members an opportunity to continue working with us?
Yeah, that's really thoughtful. And how are you tracking the reopening status for dining in?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, obviously I'm watching the mayor's briefing, the governor's briefing every single day. You know, our legal advisors generate a really nice daily email that kind of recaps everything that's going on. There's just so much information out there. It's hard to digest everything. The guidance from the national level and federal level versus state can kind of be conflicting sometimes. So it really is it does feel like a full-time job just trying to disseminate all the information that is given to us every single day. And then trying to take that and see how it applies to us as a small business. It's just one of the many challenges that all small business owners are facing right now and understanding what the new reality will be.
Day to day as well.
Yeah. And while also trying to operate day to day. So, you know, I look at the stuff overseas. I follow all that stuff because there are a couple weeks to months ahead of us. And particularly following the restaurant industry and seeing how it feels over there right now. How it feels over there right now has been interesting.
How are you feeling about our city's path to recovery, to really overcoming this virus?
You know, I'm naturally a pessimist. I'm a half glass is half empty type of guy. But I think in this case, you know, I'm just trying to stay as optimistic as possible. I have lots of questions, you know, and it's the path to getting back to, you know, something that I recognize as New York City and particularly the restaurant industry. I want to say that hopefully there are going to be some, you know, whether it's a vaccine or some kind of research that alleviates the fears for guests about dining out again. But honestly, I don't know. It's just so hard to predict. All I can do is try to control my emotions every single day. I try to give space for myself to panic and accept that, you know, I have a lot of anxiety about the situation. But, you know, internally with the team, you know, I think we can just try to control what we can control. And what I can control right now is operating as a delivery takeout. What I can control right now is trying to come up with creative solutions about recapturing that lost revenue and what we can do as a team, and how do I utilize our talented team and find them opportunities to help contribute to this. You know, that's my big challenge, and that challenge and that kind of work has really kind of occupied my mind 100%. But I think I'm at my best when I'm constantly working. So constantly working while exhausting mentally and physically has also helped to just alleviate my anxiety. So I feel really blessed to have that kind of opportunity to focus all my energy on something. I know that is not definitely the case for most people right now. A lot of people are out of jobs. A lot of people are at home. You know, I feel really blessed and privileged that I still can operate my business, even though at a limited basis, and I do have a place to go to where I can work.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're incredibly focused right now, and that's amazing, and it's giving you new challenges. But outside of D&D work, are you, you know, taking some time for yourself? What else have you been doing to keep yourself busy, like any quarantine projects that have come up?
You know, nothing that, you know, is exceptionally different than my normal routine. I think, you know, I'm finding opportunities to read a little bit more these days. But, you know, my mind still stays 100% focused on the restaurant day in and day out. You know, I think someone asked me the question the other day of like, are you working more or are you working less during this time? And for myself, even though I think, you know, we're not operating a full service anymore and I'm not having to be part of a dinner service. So like my time commitment at the restaurant hours wise might be a lot less, but just my mind now is occupied on the restaurant, you know, 24/7, whether I'm here or at the restaurant at home, you know. So it doesn't seem like I have a lot more downtime as opposed to previously when I think about it.
For sure. Yeah, and you have to constantly adapt day to day, week to week to developing changes, and that's a constant thing you'll have to think about as a business owner, for sure. Well, what are the first things you're going to do when the city fully reopens?
Oh my God, what am I going to do? I think for my wife and I, you know, eating out and enjoying the New York City hospitality industry is something that we won't take advantage, you know, we won't take for granted again.
Oh, 100%.
You know, just, you know, going to our favorite restaurant and eating outside would be wonderful. You know, seeing people again would be really nice. You know, I'm kind of an introvert to begin with. So like, I'm not the most social butterfly, but I really miss my friends and I really miss being able to see people and have people over and cook dinner for them. And, you know, just establish those personal connections that, you know, while it's nice to talk to people on the phone or do Zoom meetings, this just doesn't replace, you know, hanging out in somebody's house or apartment on the couch and, you know, just watching TV together or catching up on each other's lives. And all those little things that we took for granted, you know, like has become very apparent about the things that I really, really do miss.
Yeah, completely feel the same way, Dennis. Well, thank you so much for taking a moment to chat with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, take care, and I'll see you really soon, and probably during pickup when I come by the restaurant next time.
Absolutely.
That's it for our show. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your support, and it would mean so much if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another conversation from the world of Asian food.
Feast Meets West is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to find out more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.